You know, I said that on the Mincing Rascals podcast, I cannot help but note the almost symmetry of Mitch McConnell losing his position as the most powerful legislator in the United States and Mike Madigan potentially losing his position as the most powerful legislator in the state of Illinois. You know who's really good on that Mike Madigan topic is Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute. That organization writes about Illinois politics, and it's been sort of a pet topic for Austin Berg as well. And he joins us again on WGN. Hi, Austin. Welcome back.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Fair enough to describe Mike Madigan as a pet topic of yours. Maybe that's not right.
A pet sounds sort of like, you know, a minor thing. It's been a big project for maybe 5 years.
Why so? Why have you been interested in his career and his job?
The biggest reason was because our community, starting around at Illinois Policy Institute around 5-6 years ago, it was the number one question we would get. What are you guys doing about Mike Madigan? What is there to do about Mike Madigan? And what a lot of people forget is that for many decades, he really flew under the radar while accumulating all of this power. And that's very much kind of in the daily model of politics. You want to do these things sort of quietly. His favorables going back to, say, 2009, he was about even. About half of people approved of him, half of people disapproved, and almost 20% of people didn't even know who he was or had no opinion.
Sure.
And then you cut to today, and he couldn't have tanked any harder. So he's really, we started focusing on him because of everyone's, so many people had interest in him. And then we tried to expose sort of more of the power structure and the policies that matter rather than just sort of the boogeyman and the person.
Before we get to the details of his exit from that position, potentially, I mean, we do not have a new speaker, so you watch, he'll find a way to regain that position. But what straws have been breaking this camel's back lately? Why is it that suddenly his position is in peril as the Speaker of the House?
Well, it's very simple. Representatives at a certain point become more afraid of their constituents than of Madigan. and that's really what we've seen happen here as as the narrative has become clear about his corruption and wrongdoing and unprecedented power over the years. So that dam has finally burst. And on Sunday, there was an internal caucus vote. This is ahead of the official vote for speaker. That's set to happen tomorrow, Wednesday. In the internal caucus vote, he only got 51 votes. He needs 60 to become speaker. So rather than, you know, keep holding votes and seeing him keep losing, Madigan kind of stopped the process. And then yesterday we saw him suspend but not withdraw his campaign, which is a very Madigan move. So that's where we stand today.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you more about that and that in just a minute. Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute is on a phone line. Mike Madigan's statement was, to me, bizarre, utterly cryptic. But also, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about what's gone wrong. And we'll pick it up here in a minute with Austin Berg. This is WGN. Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute. He's one of those mincing rascals who participates in our wildly popular podcast. And we reached out to Austin to talk just a little bit more about Mike Madigan, the speaker of the, well, is he still the House Speaker in Illinois? I guess technically he is, right?
Yeah, as of today, until Wednesday when they're inaugurated, he will be speaker.
Well, then what happens Wednesday? Will we not have a speaker?
We will, it depends. So they could elect a speaker on Wednesday, or they could just keep voting until somebody gets those 60 votes, and that could go on indefinitely.
I guess we have to have one, huh?
We do have to have one in order to do any business, and there's plenty of essential business to be done in the Illinois legislature. They do have to elect a House Speaker. It's the first thing they have to do.
So the entirety of his statement begins, it's very brief, right? And it begins with, this is not a withdrawal. I have suspended my campaign for Speaker. As I have said many times in the past, I have always put the best interest of the House Democrats caucus and our members first. The House Democrat caucus can work to find someone other than me to get 60 votes for speaker, close quotes. You know, sometimes the chairman of the Fed issues a statement and you wonder, what does that mean? How will interest rates react? I feel the same way about this. It's like, what are you saying, dude?
Yeah, if there was ever sort of a reason or an example to show why Madigan should go as speaker, I think this is a great one. Think of all the critically important things that Illinois lawmakers should be focused on right now. And to put out this sort of obsequious statement, like, am I in, am I out, I'm suspending but not withdrawing, is quite selfish. But essentially, when we're reading between the lines, what this means is he's kind of throwing the red meat out to the dogs. He says, you guys go fight it out to figure out who's going to be your next speaker. I'll just be waiting here, hands crossed at my desk, seeing if you can do it. So what we should be worried about, though, is potentially Madigan pulling strings behind the scenes to pick someone to his liking.
Well, here's the sentence that I think is truest and also most offensive. As I have said many times, I always put the best interest of House Democrats caucus and our members first. I presume members are the Democrats in the state of Illinois, and I thoroughly believe that. He's done everything he can to amass power and protect his team, and I think everybody has suffered as a result of that kind of posture. I mean, he didn't say, I just want to make Illinois the best place for everybody, or I don't know what the hell he's supposed to say, but I think that he's so partisan in this statement is sadly true.
Certainly. That's how he's been able to keep power. And there's a great old TV interview from the early 90s where Madigan describes how he becomes speaker. And he says, you know, become speaker by magic. I become speaker by a vote of my colleagues. So my, you know, it's my most important vote of the year. And it's to make sure that those people are loyal to me. And he's done that through, you know, controlling the Democratic Party purse strings for many years. Yeah. He's done it through the parliamentary rules. He's done it through preventing good government reforms like independent maps. It is all done to retain this seat of power in the speakership.
And what was it, though? I hate to sound naive or belabor this point, but okay, so he has become all-powerful. He's not been officially charged with any crimes. So what's happened then?
So what's happened is very recently we saw four indictments of people sort of in his inner circle as part of this very large, wide-ranging ComEd corruption probe. And the corruption probe may go even deeper than ComEd. ComEd has been sort of the center in recent months. And specifically, a deferred prosecution agreement with ComEd and the federal government that says, okay, ComEd, you're going to pay a fine of $200 million because we have all of this evidence that shows you engaged in a years-long bribery scheme to influence the decisions of Speaker Madigan. You let him name people to jobs from meter reader on up. You gave him no-work contracts. And there's emails documenting all of this with Madigan's consigliere, Mike McLean. And that is really kind of the heart of where this new opposition has come from within the Democratic Party. An interesting wrinkle on that with the speaker vote, though, is it seems as though State Representative Chris Welch has become a leading contender to be the next speaker. The person who chaired the special House investigative committee that really did nothing to learn more about this wide-ranging corruption scheme was Representative Welch. And I don't think that committee would have been really conducted any differently if Madigan himself had led it. It was called a special House investigative committee. It was neither special nor investigative.
All right, one last thing then. How would you describe the ideal person to take this job? Somebody, I presume, that would push meaningful legislation through, be fair with maps? I don't know. What would serve us best? Who should we root for?
I think the number one issue people should have in mind is ethics reform. We have had one public corruption conviction per week in Illinois for the last 20 years running. Think about that for a second. And making Madigan go down as, you know, say the 850th of the 849 public corruption convictions over the last 20 years is not going to change things. You need a speaker who is really serious about ethics reforms. That includes lawmaker lobbying, a revolving door restriction, strengthening the powers of the inspector general, fixing the house rules, fixing the maps. People who have led on those issues should be the ones leading this fight for speaker, because it's an amazing chance for real reform in Illinois.
You said 849 and 850 over 20 years. That's not a rhetorical dig on
that's
your
That's the actual number.
The number of what? Say what that represents again?
That is the number of public officials convicted of corruption charges in Illinois over the last 20 years. It's about one per week.
Yeah, 40 a year. So, yeah, boy, just a little under one a week. Wow. Okay. Interesting. By the way, Austin, maybe next week you can talk to us a little bit about this crime, police reform bill before the legislators in Springfield. It's several hundred pages, and I know the police chiefs don't like it. I presume you're up to speed a little bit on that?
Yeah, let's definitely talk about it. There's lots in there.
Yeah. Okay. Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute. Brett, jump in here. Brett, what did you want to say? You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Brett?
John, I just wanted to tack on to the Madigan statement that you had read just a few minutes ago. When I heard that yesterday, all I heard was wham, wham, wham from him. And I'm wondering if reading between the lines, if those that this suspension, quote unquote, of his speakership, is that just a ploy for him to say, you know, I'm just going to go stand over in the corner and, you know, if you vote for me, then, oh, shucks, thanks a lot. I really didn't deserve it sort of thing. It's just him wanting more ego food. Is that even possible?
Or sympathy. I don't know. Actually, Austin, Austin, you're still there. React to that a little bit.
I think it's a way for him to draw. Well, there's a couple ways to read it. One is it's kind of his only move he can make at this point. He's not going to keep having these internal votes where he loses because that looks weak. In a similar vein, Mike Madigan is not one to just say, I'm dropping out, right? That is not, I totally agree in terms of the ego and perception of power. Releasing a statement that says, I will not be the next speaker is not what we'd expect of Madigan. So this is everything short of that, short of him saying, I'm not going to be able to have the votes.
We'll visit again. An interesting call. Thanks for joining us. And Austin, as always, thanks for your time.
Thanks, John.